Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. John the Baptist once asked a question that a pastor referred to as Advent's timeless question. Now, the question that John asked wasn't generated out of idle speculation or even after academic curiosity. Is a question that John asked because the answer to that question makes the difference between life and death. And the question was simply this: are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In other words, Jesus, are you the one, or do we need to wait for someone else? Tonight, as we look at the second article of the Apostles' Creed, we hear a resounding, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the coming one. So therefore, John the Baptist made his preparations for Jesus, the one who came to take away the sin of the world. And as you rightly read, as we went through the explanation to the second article, we learned a lot about Jesus. First of all, that he's true God because he's begotten by the Father from eternity. But he's also true man because he is born of the Virgin Mary, which makes him our Lord. This Jesus has the title of Lord, and the reality is that identifies him as the Messiah, and even more, God incarnate for you and for me. And the Catechism then kind of boosts it up to the next step higher and to explain exactly who Jesus is as Lord and as God on our behalf. So when the Bible says, you shall have no other gods, which means you should worship Jesus in the Trinity alone. For he is our God. Now, in our day and age, a Lord doesn't mean a whole lot of anything. A Lord, we refer to Jesus as Lord, but do we really know what it means? In ancient times, a Lord is someone who possessed another. Imagine a slave and that owner in the South before the Civil War literally owned them. Flesh and blood owned them and determined all parts of their life, where they should sleep, what they should eat, and all those things. And some lords were cruel in their behavior. But the reality is, such was the case of the Israelites as they were held in captivity in Egypt, because the Egyptians also lorded it over them. Now, the reality is, in the New Testament, we still have lords that want to lord over us. You surely refer to them as sin, death, and the power of the devil, because surely they do. For example, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So therefore, if you are like me, which you are, as a sinner, every time you sin, you show the lordship of Satan in our lives. And then Apostle Paul also kind of flips around that reality and says these words in Romans chapter 6. For sin will have no dominion or lordship over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. So Paul makes it clear that you are no longer lorded over by the devil, because you now are under Christ's lordship. You are forgiven. Likewise, Paul likes to go on to tell where sin is and it lords over us, it also brings death. He writes these words in Romans 5 as well. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Sin pays off slaves with the dividend of death. But it's even worse than that. Death in trespasses and sins. In Ephesians, it says this: children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, that's who we were. We were children of wrath. We were like everyone else. Sin, death, the power of the devil were the only alternatives to the lordship of Jesus Christ. For each of us today are possessed by something. Do you realize that? You are under the lordship of something or someone. Now, on the one hand, if you seek to exercise your freedom, make your sinful decisions, you are certainly under the lordship of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. But the only other alternative is a lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, Luther's Comforting Confession in the second article tells us how Jesus has, he says, redeemed us, lost and condemned people, that I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom. Sounds like lordship, doesn't it? Serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocent and blessedness, just as he has raised from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. It's little wonder there's a theologian by the name of Hermann Sasse who said those are the most beautiful words ever recorded in German. And I believe they're pretty sweet in English too. Because Jesus Christ has lordship over us. For here Luther is expressing the pulsating heart of the very message of the gospel, echoing the words of the Apostle Paul, where Paul says this: He, the Father, has delivered us from the dominion or the lordship of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is where you are located today. See, by the water of your baptism, you have taken a transfer. You've transferred from the kingdom of death into the kingdom of light. Today you are literally possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who has purchased and won you from all sin. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, innocent, and precious blood, you are forgiven. Now, here is life in a kingdom not governed by the sword of oppression and everlasting threat of death. The kingdom you dwell in today is completely and utterly different, for by a king who reigns from the cross, exercising mercy and grace to sinful people like you and me. Have you ever noticed that as you look through the Advent hymns, they speak of this king and his kingdom? Now, I pulled out just three, but there's many others that could go along with it. For example, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, a Charles Wesley tune, says this: Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom brings. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient mercy or merit, raise us to your glorious throne. Here's another one. It's a Reformation era hymn. It's Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates, behold the King of Glory waits. The King of Kings is drawing near, the Savior of the world is here. Life and salvation he doth bring. Therefore rejoice and gladly sing to God the Father, rise your glorious songs of praise. Or here's the last one, Prepare the Royal Highway, one of my favorites. It comes from heaven above, his rule in peace and freedom, and justice, truth, and love. So let your praise be sounding for kindness so abounding. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word. Dear friends in Christ, we come in this Advent season where we witness the birth of our King, who comes to reign in our lives, not from a throne in a palace somewhere in a kingdom, but his throne is the cross of Calvary, where he was crucified on our behalf, that he would give life to those lost in sin's darkness. In his kingdom, we live not in a self-righteous way, therefore under condemnation, but under the righteousness of Messiah, by whose blood he has literally made you and me his own. Under his righteousness, not achieved by, but given freely as a gift through faith. And we live in innocence, for Christ does not hold sin against us any longer. Covered by his blood, we literally are a new creation. Our conscience is clear. We are in his presence as his children. Confessed and absolved, it will not have lordship over us any longer. Sin and death have been put away because of what Christ has done for you and for me. Now, under the lordship of the crucified and risen Emmanuel, our existence is one of blessedness. Now, I know it's sometimes it's hard to believe because all the suffering in the world and the things that go along around us and to us, but the reality is you and I live today in a blessed state with our Lord Jesus Christ. We hear this in the Gospel of Luke. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Who is this King? It is Jesus, our Lord, begotten of the Father before all creation. And born of the Virgin, wrapped in human flesh, to take His throne for you and for me. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.